I just received some clarification. On Tuesday, that's going to be a house blessing at Zach and Sasha's at 6:30 p.m. So let's remember that. Well, welcome everyone. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm pleased to be able to introduce my brother, Jim Yates, Sr. What have I learned from him? Don't throw spear grass. don't pick the flowers. Jim has been a faithful member of this local and has been working to further God's work for many, many years. And he continues tonight to endeavor to serve God the best way he knows how. I would ask for a prayer for him, not only that the Lord will direct his words as he comes before us, but that he will heal his throat and his voice and help it to hold out. So please give your careful attention to my brother Jim.
Thank you, Jerry. Good evening. I'm here tonight because about an hour ago I took a big dose of cough syrup, so I wouldn't be hacking my head off. My sermon tonight, I start off with a question of what kind of life do we live? It's going to be a little rough. Do we do unto others as we would have them to do for us? Do we go to God in prayer in our secret places, as God tells us to do in Alma 16? That's verse 221 and 222, page 403, if you're looking for it. 430. This is what it has to say. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Do we do this every day? Kind of a stupid question, isn't it? Do we take time to stop and pray? As I look out on this group, I know the answer to that. I don't really have to ask you that. But we as human beings seem to slip and backslide quite often. And we need help to get back on that straight and narrow path. Do we really stop to pray and ask God for direction to get us back on the right path again? Or do we just go on our merry way, the way of the world, and do things that do not please God and His Son, Jesus Christ? I think we are prone to do that which is not pleasing in their sight. It's a constant battle to keep Satan where he belongs, behind us, not in front of us. We are told in the last sentence, or in the last part of the verse in Luke 12:48, and it's just a little short thing, you don't need to look it up. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. We know that Satan works harder against those who have seen the light, have straightened out their lives to the best of their ability to live a life that's worthy of pleasing God's sight. So hopefully our conscience doesn't have to keep telling us, no, no. Well done. Keep up the good work. For those who have not seen the light and the way of salvation, Satan doesn't worry too much about, especially if they're not searching for the truth and the light. But once we have seen the light and found our way, we are much harder to lead astray, because we know that there is a better way of life than the worldly life or Satan's way. And he has to work harder to get us. Life will not always be a bed of roses on the downhill grade. It can be full of pitfalls and stumbling blocks and temptations of all kinds. But for those who are always striving to keep God's commandments and walk in that straight and narrow path, the reward will be that which a man's mind cannot conceive. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 9th verse, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them which love Him. I don't think that we can even begin to imagine what that really means. In Alma, 7th chapter, find it on page 333, Alma 7th chapter, we'll start at verse 42. Therefore, prepare ye the way of the Lord. For the time is at hand that all men shall reap the reward of their works according to that which they have been. If they have been righteous, they shall reap the salvation of their souls according to the power and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. And you have to keep your finger there. We'll come back to that shortly. Excuse me. For those who do not strive to keep the commandments of God laid down for all men to follow, they too shall receive something that man's mind cannot comprehend. And it too shall be a reward, but not one that we would ordinarily think is a reward. And let's go back to Alma and read the 44th verse. And if they have been evil, they shall reap the damnation of their souls according to the power and the captation of the devil. I don't think that they want that. But if they haven't followed and kept the commandments of the Lord, that's what they're going to get, whether they want it or not. Again, can you imagine what the devil have in mind for us once we give into his will? It cannot be good, and we know that. Let's go to 2 Nephi. Second Nephi 8, and we'll start, that's in, on page 149. Second Nephi 8, we'll start at verse 49. I'll read verse 49. Woe unto the wicked, for they shall perish. For the reward of their hands shall be upon them. Now let's go to 2 Nephi 6, page 106. I'm going to read the 21st verse. And our spirits must have become like unto him, and we become devils, angels to the devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God, and to remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. Now we know that none of us want any part of that. But I think that that's going to be the reward of the majority of mankind. Unless there's a great change in the way they live their lives. If we don't want to be counted among them, that majority, we'd better take a long, good look at how we are living. What we are doing, what we are saying, and make changes where needed. Now, don't procrastinate. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I'm sure that each one of us want to be in that few that find it. You know, if you talk to many people now and then, they'll want to know what church you have anything to do with, what have you. Oh, that's a little church. We never heard of it. I recall back sometime in the 80s, Hubert and I was up in Canada, January, February. And we had a brother that lived in the, across the river in the Canadian side. I can't remember his name. He was an older gentleman, and he didn't have very good health. And he didn't live too long after he was baptized. But I was talking to him one day, and just talking about the church. And read that scripture. And he says that I am glad that I am among that few that find it. Because he says, I know that is Christ's church. Short time after that, he passed away. But I think he probably had a pretty good handle on things in that short time that he was here on earth. In a verse like to read in the 16th chapter of Alma. You'll find it on page 431. Alma here is telling us part of what we can do to help bring about the change in our lives and put Satan behind us where he belongs. I'm going to read verse 238 on page 431. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he does bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects in the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good. Throughout the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, there are accounts of the goodness and mercy of God. In 3rd Nephi, we can read where the Lamanites were converted to the truth and endeavored to live a good life and keep the commandments of God. And in doing so, they lived a life of peace and prosperity and did for a few years. But somewhere along the way, the peaceful and faithful years, something went wrong. Satan slipped into their peaceful years and caused all manner of iniquity. Many were led away from the path of righteousness and fell into all kinds of temptations and caused all kinds of troubles for those who still believed. And boldly testified of those things pertaining to Christ. Many were put to death because they held on to their faith. There's an old saying that history repeats itself. How true. Look at Syria and Iraq today and see what's happening to the Christians there. Beheadings, people lined up and shot and put in mass graves, burned or drowned in steel cages, starved to death. Who knows what else is happening to them? As I look in the audience this evening, I see a few that remember what happened to the Jews in World War II. All kinds of atrocities. Yes, history does repeat itself. There are those who not will but will, or would and will, do the same to us given the chance. I wonder if being put in the same position, we'd be able to remain strong and not deny the Lord. We look at what's going on in the Arab countries today and think that it's very bad. Which it is. But when we read what Jesus had to say in Matthew and see it when it's just the beginning of what is coming, we can see that our faith will really be tested. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22. This is Jesus speaking. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For the elect's sake. We would hope that that includes us. Now there's some of us that are long in years, unless something like that happens awful quick, we're not going to see. The little ones probably will, for sure. And if they haven't got a good grounding in their faith, they're going to be in trouble. This tells us that we need to look at our lives right now and make changes where needed, and don't put it off any longer. Go to Acts 17, 21, 26. Acts 20, 17, 26. I'm going to read the last half of that verse. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God has set an appointed time for our lives and where we shall live. He saw fit to put us in this place at this time. We should all be thankful for him for that blessing. With all the evil that is here now and all that is yet to come, I'm thankful that God has given us everything we need to remain strong and faithful and how to endure to the end of this time that he has picked this place for us to reside. I'm sure that he has done that now. And it's up to us to use that time that he has given us in this place that we reside and are able to meet in quiet places, safety, as we have this night. In these two books, we can find everything we need. That can put us in a spot that he called the elite that could be saved. But I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We have to do it on our own. Search the scriptures to be enlightened. cough syrup's wearing off. I'm going to bring this to a close. I thank you for your time. God bless each one of you.